Hello, everyone. Welcome to this conference call. As usual, I'm joined by Rodrigo Costa, our CEO, João Conceição, our COO, and Gonçalo Soares, our CFO. Rodrigo will say a few words, and then Gonçalo will go through the presentation that we made public yesterday. We welcome your questions afterwards. Rodrigo?
Thank you, Ana. Good afternoon, all. This time we have some more events going on, and we expect that our call will go beyond the quarter results that we just released. In general, and again, we had a good quarter, and results were in line with analyst forecasts, although at the financial level, we did better than expected. EBITDA reached 124 million euros, a small increase over last year's numbers, and mostly explained by the high sovereign bond yields. I also want to mention a new fact. This is the first quarter accounting for Electrogas contribution to our results. Operationally, things are going according to plan. OPEX was necessarily higher due to the purchase of Electrogas. And other than that, there is nothing extraordinary to report besides the business development activity that we will speak about later. During the quarter, we kept our focus on being as efficient as usual. We had good progress on the average cost of debt, benefiting from the bond standards executed in May 2016, and the other two bond issues also done last year. Net income naturally benefited from better financial results, but we kept being negatively impacted by the energy levy. These are the main topics regarding the past quarter. Yesterday, we also had our annual shareholder meeting. Every board proposals have been approved by over 99% of the voting shareholders. The meeting agenda included the 2016 accounts reports approvals, plus the usual recurrent board proposals. A key topic was the capital raise for the acquisition of EDP Gas that was approved. All went super well, with great support from the shareholders. And now we move to Gonçalo, who, as usual, will go through the results presentation, and in the end, we will be available to answer any question. Thank you.
Okay, good afternoon to you all. Welcome today. So I think we presented a very solid set of results for our first quarter. As Rodrigo mentioned, our EBITDA amounted to almost 124 million euros, an increase of 2%, 2.1% to be exact, over the last year, on the back mainly of the evolution of the electricity rate of return, and we'll come to that. And also our net profit rose from 7.4 to 13.5, being boosted not only by these strong operational results, but also by the good performance, which has come in line with previous quarters of our financial costs, and the declining average cost of debt, which has come down to 2.6%. Okay, even excluding extraordinary effects, our recurring net profit would have increased quite a bit. Net debt grew a little bit, but was basically due to the Electrogas acquisition. If it was not because of this, net debt would have fallen in the quarter by a large amount. As in recent years, and we've said, we continue to have the energy levy in place, and that accounted for 25.8 million. And as you know, we already account for the full amount in the first quarter in our account. Okay, it's it's 100,000 euros below what we had last year, basically driven by the evolution of the assets. Okay, CapEx and transfers are basically increasing, but in line with expectations very early. And we'll talk a little bit more about about both the Electrogas, but also about the EDPG transaction, which we covered before, but we can give you a little bit additional color in the Q&A if you want. So moving into slide number three, slide number two is just KPIs, and I'll move over that slide. In slide number three, you can see that there has been a slight increase in the bond yields in the last few months, which in our case has been translating into an increase in the rate of return. This is, as you know, the name of the game in the regulated space. So and in this case, this has translated into the fact that our base rates of return for electricity and gas have gone up from 6% to 6.5 in the case of electricity, and from 7 and have come down from 7.4 to 6.4 in the case of gas. Mind you that in the case of gas, there was a change in terms of the regulatory period and the rules last year. Moving to slide number 4, you can see that CapEx is growing and the transfers to RAB are also growing, but to be honest, this is now still meaningless in the sense that it's very early in the year. We are actually going over also the CapEx plans given our recent acquisition or the planned acquisition that is to be closed of EDPG. And so, but this is completely in line, I would say, with our own internal targets. And there is, I'd say, nothing to add or to kind of stress at this stage, which in slide number 5 you can see translates, say, in the normal recomposition of the asset base, which is a decrease on the electricity without premium and an increase in the electricity with premium. It is also on a year-on-year basis translating that decrease on the gas, which is normal. It's already what you had seen at the end of last year because of the fact that we have invested mainly in 2015 by buying those caverns, and now there is a decrease on the asset base as we have no major investments to do on that business unit. So in slide number 6, you can see how that translates into RAB remuneration. So you see that, I'd say, expected but good increase on RAB remuneration on the electricity side. And this is basically driven by the fact that we are now at a blended rate of return of 7.22 versus 6.78 that we were in the assets with premium before. And on the natural gas part, it's basically driven because of that change in the regulatory period. But I'd say also a little bit higher than our expectations in terms of rates of return. Moving to slide number 7, and in terms of costs, you see a slight increase in the beginning. This is mainly driven because of transaction costs that are incurred in this first quarter. So there is nothing, I'd say, alarming in the cost structures that driven by the acquisition of Electrogas, namely had some one-off costs that have caused the external supplies and services. I'd say that personnel costs continue to be on their normal trend, and the other O&M and normal costs that we have in Portugal also continue to be on their normal trend. Okay. The other cost that I would point out is that we have some additional costs in our terminal, but that is also driven by the fact that we have been using the terminal at full capacity. So actually, this is beginning of the year. We normally, the normal year would be to use more the gas from the pipeline than the terminal. We are using more the terminal than the gas from the pipeline. It's a high gas consumption year here in Portugal. And so that has driven both results and costs at the terminal. But so it is not a cost that is incurred without a revenue on the other side. So that's what translates into that increase in core OPEX. You also see that in the non-core OPEX, there's some increases, namely in the ITC mechanism because of the exports of electricity, but those are completely passed through. Okay, that's in slide number 8. So moving to slide number 9, you can say that the EBITDA, as I saw, and this is just summing up, is growing 2.1%, basically driven by the evolution of the rates. And also a little bit already by the impact of Electrogas. It's still not material at this point, but already accounting for something at this stage. Looking below EBITDA, what I can say is that depreciations, as usual, are pretty much in line with expectations and the evolution of the asset life, so nothing very new there. tax is already also very much in line with our expectations, so effective tax rates around those 27%-28% that we are always at. Okay. The financial results, you see that good evolution, so there's a strong decrease versus the first quarter of last year. We can look also at slide number 11, where you see the evolution of that debt. Basically, what you can see here is that on one side you have net debt going up by around 66 million, given the fact that the Electrogas acquisition was actually 168. You see that there was other positive impacts. There is nothing very strange. The fact is that we have incurred in previous years some tariff deviations, and now we receive them, so it's, I'd say, the normal business. As you know, this creates some fluctuations on the working capital, and so we are actually receiving some of this money that was owed to us now in this first quarter, and we have a little bit less expenditures also on the CapEx front that we had made at the end of the year. That explains this good performance in terms of evolution of net debt. In terms of the average cost of the debt, and to already give you a little bit of visibility, this is mainly driven by the renegotiation that we did and the refinancing last year, specifically the one related to the retail bonds. You did not see that fully on the cost last year, so on those 3.2% that you have last year, but you see that fully now reflected on this 2.6% comparing. That's basically what explains, apart from other smaller issues. It is not expected that you will see a big improvement. I think that this is the cost that the main impact is something from last year. This is in line with what we would expect. Then we'll see how the refinancing goes in the next few months, driven by the acquisition that is being concluded. Looking at slide number 12, and summing up, you have a positive impact from EBITDA, positive impact from below EBITDA. It translates, given the low net income because of the full accounting of the levy in this quarter, it translates into a very large improvement. Of course, this year-on-year improvement is not to be replicated for the next quarters, but I think it indicates a good trend for the full year. In conclusion, and just to mention to you very briefly, the only thing that we can add at this stage, but then you can ask away on the EDPG transaction, is that all of the regulatory and legal approvals are underway, both the ones that were pushed by REN and the ones that were pushed by the seller, by EDP. They're all underway. We still do not have visibility when they will be concluded because it is not possible to do so. You can ask us a little bit more about that, but we will not be able to give you any definite date. Everything is going according to plan, so I'd say that there is no concern, but we are still waiting for what comes out of it. We have been setting up everything for the capital increase that was duly approved yesterday, but we are working hard on all of those fronts, namely in preparing the operation itself and talking to investors and preparing the prospectus. Everything, I'd say, is on schedule also on that front. Let's wait to hear from these approvals to then give you a little bit more information, which we don't have as of now. I will only add, if you don't know, that both Moody's and Fitch have already reaffirmed our investment grade rating. It was not still the timing for S&P, as they do their review normally at a later stage. We do not expect any bad news on that front, but I think that we managed very proactively all rating agencies, but we are still waiting for that one. Finally, just to reaffirm, as you saw, we approved also the payment of the 0.171 per share of dividends for this year, okay, which give a very nice dividend yield of around 6%. That concludes our presentation, and I would open and welcome any questions that you have. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We'll take our first question from the line of Sarah Piccini from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. So I have a few. First one is on the contribution from Electrogas. Should we account for Electrogas at the EBITDA level rather than at the equity line? And how much is the contribution that you expect by year end, since it is now 1.7 million, should be in the region of 5 million, let's say? This is a fair question. Second question is, where do you see the cost of debt by year end? Is there any outperformance in the cost of debt reduction for this quarter? And finally, I know that you can't give a timing on the authorizations, but just to have an idea of how many authorizations are you waiting for, and if we can assume that after the competition authorities, most of the tough part is done. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you, Sarah, for your question. So the first one, yes, you should expecting it also at EBITDA. As you know, we are doing it accounting-wise through the equity method, but presentation-wise and at the EBITDA level, because as you know, EBITDA is an indicator which for the auditors is something which they care a little bit less about. But at the EBITDA level, you'll also see us in our presentation putting at that level. So this is what you should expect, is to continue to see this being presented in terms of results as it is being now. Okay. So secondly, you asked about the cost of debt. So yes, we are expecting, as I told you, that this cost that you see now is basically already reflecting the full impact of the refinancing of last year. So we have a little bit of refinancing being done this year. So depending on the timing of that refinancing, and this is mainly tied to the acquisition that is being approved, you can have a little bit more, a little bit less, but I would not think that it would deviate from what we are having now. So if you want to take some number, take the number that you have for the first quarter, I would assume that it's going to be pretty close to that, okay?
On the last questions regarding the authorizations, well, I think we are disclosing as much as we can at the moment. I would say all the process should be quite simple, but you know, regulators are the regulators, and it doesn't really benefit the process if we put too much pressure. You know, for sure we are doing all we can. I think we presented our cases quite well. We discussed this beforehand. We are not expecting any surprise, you know, but the timing for the regulators, it's something they manage, and it can always be a little bit slower or a little bit faster. You know, I would just say that we are expecting to close the operation until the end of the third quarter of this year. You know, and this is all we can say at the moment. We are not expecting any big issue, because we really did our homework before moving into the deal.
Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, star 1 to ask a question, and we'll take our next question from Catarina Afonso from Intermoney.
Hi, good afternoon. I would like to ask, if possible, for you to repeat the explanation of the operating cash flow, because it's a big number compared with 1 year ago. I heard it was relative to tariff deviations, but this one explains around 60 million of this big number. Thank you.
That's exactly right. So additionally to, I'd say, that that impact that you see, so if you compute spec, you would have an impact of 100 million that it would be going down. Of that decrease, around 60% is driven by tariff variations, and the rest is by, I'd say, normal evolution of working capital. So we sometimes pay and anticipate a little bit more capex at the end of one quarter versus the other. Sometimes we receive some money from our main customers, when I'm talking about EDP or Galp, and it varies according to some quarters. And so sometimes things converge on a single quarter. So everything on, I'd say, on the longer term, apart from the deviations, should be very flattish, or you shouldn't really see a lot of working capital. Unfortunately, this tariff deviation mechanism creates, both here on the debt level and also on the interest received and paid at the P&L, a little bit of fluctuation. This is the mechanism that we have, and we've been having them for a very long time, and so that is the explanation. Okay.
Okay, many thanks.
Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, star one to ask a question, and please ensure your mute function is switched off to allow the signal to reach our equipment. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. There are no questions signaled. We have a follow-up question from Sarah Piccini from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, if there are no questions, I would add one more maybe. On the regulatory review for the electricity, is there any update with the regulatory? Should we expect a consultation document before the summer, or shall we stick to the date of October? Thank you.
Yes, Sarah, that's exactly right. So I think that the dates that we have in place, so João, that is here, and his team is going to start to engage with the regulator now in a few weeks in the normal fashion. And then in October 15, we'll have the draft. And then in December 15, we'll have the final decision. I don't know, João, you want to add something?
Just to add that typically the regulator sets a public consultation on the new regulations, which we are expecting to happen before the summer, I would say mid-June, beginning of July. But this is a date that it's completely flexible, and the regulator has no formal date. The only one that he has to comply with is effectively what Gonzalo has just said, which is the 15th of October.
Many thanks.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Catalina Afonso from Intermoney.
Hi, hello again, sorry. I just have a question regarding Electrogas. What type of dividends should we expect on an early basis? Thank you.
The impact in terms of net income. Let me check. I wanted to give you the exact value of the full year impact, but it was around 4 million euros. I can give you the around 4 million euros in terms of net income full year, but I can give you, the exact number. So net income should be around those 4 million euros, I'd say. So we have a little bit more dividends coming from the company, that we have a little bit of financial cost being paid also at the holding that holds that financial company. So at the end of the day, but that's a bit, at a bit level, that's it. But on the net income is around 3 to 4 million euros. Okay? Thank you.
As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, star one if you would like to ask a question. There are no further question signals at this time. I'd like to hand the conference back to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Let me just add one issue that Anna was pointing to me out here in relation to Electrogas. That 3 to 4 million euro impact in net income has in there a one-off, which is the costs relating one something million relating to the transaction, which are one-off. So on a run rate, we would actually, from the operations, we would actually have a 4 to 5 million kind of impact on the accounts. Okay, I hope that helps clarifying the issue that you asked. Thank you.
Well, I believe we have no further questions, and to be honest, we were expecting a few more questions today, but in fact, we have been communicating also a lot, and we always have Anna providing a lot of information, and we are always available. And thank you, and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.